Hello, everybody. My name's Abby Murphy, and this is...
That's Life Podcast.
No, your name's not That's Life Podcast.
Oh, this is Ryan Luckett.
And this is That's Life Podcast. And I just cried.
What up, everybody?
For a long time, actually.
Not a long time.
Yeah, Ryan and
like
I...
three tears.
Ryan and I filmed this podcast about 10 minutes ago. And then I'm like really emotional today, and I was really emotional yesterday, and this is me saying that I don't have a reason for the emotions, and I'm trying to figure out what the reason is to make them feel valid, but I just need to stop searching and just allow the feelings to be feelings. And I feel sad, and that's my feeling of sad. So I hit pause, but Ryan was like, let's stop. And we talked through it. And he was very, very great at making me feel okay for feeling sad, because I felt not okay for feeling sad. All of that to say...
That's life.
And we're showing up in Ryan's happiness and Abby's sadness at this moment in time.
Abby almost went blind this morning. So she was really sad about it.
Okay. Actually, it's funny that you say that, because I have this thing called amblyopia, which... my left eye is... Are you wearing socks?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard something go ting, and I thought it was your toenail.
It was my toenail through the sock.
Oh my gosh. Y'all, we'll go back to the amblyopia thing. Ryan's toenails are so...
I'm fasting from toenail clippers.
Are so long.
It's my January fast.
His toenails are so long, y'all.
They're not that long.
They are... Ryan...
My dad used to get on me as a kid because I wouldn't cut my toenails. It's just something I struggle to do.
Yeah. They're...
Which I feel like is more of it's a guy thing. You kind of just forget about them.
Okay. Well, anyways. So, I went to the...
I need to talk louder. Sorry, guys.
So, I went to the eye doctor this morning. I have this thing called amblyopia. And it basically means one of my eyes has astigmatism, which I just can't see as well in that eye. So anyways, when I was younger, they thought I was going to go blind in that eye. And so I had to start doing eye patching in order to make me not go blind. I went to the eye doctor this morning and they dilated my eyes. So I felt blind. So then Ryan saying that hits a little close to home, especially this morning.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said it. That was the whole purpose of me saying
because
that.
Because I got my eyes dilated?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And you couldn't see this morning.
I thought
you
were just saying that because you were just saying that.
Well, it was like my cue of you telling them what happened this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So then it kind of worked. So you kind of set me up and it kind of worked.
I know. And you just didn't even realize it. But when they eye patched you as a kid, they eye patched your good eye.
Yeah, so that my bad eye would do all the work of me seeing.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's so hard because they switch the lenses back and forth. Well, have you ever done that before? Like been to an eye doctor to like...
No, I've perfect vision.
I have perfect vision.
And I'm not sure I
must
have...
Must be nice.
Well, I don't think I have perfect vision anymore. I need to go to the eye doctor.
Well, you should come because it's actually pretty fun. But what I will say is that anybody who has glasses or has done the like prescription change, like what they do is they put you in this like little contraption.
That's been happening a lot recently.
Ryan just farted into the couch and it vibrated.
No, that wasn't a fart.
What was that?
That was like the GI stuff.
What?
Like the burps that come out.
Ryan, the couch just vibrated.
Yeah, that was my stomach.
Pushing out gas from your butt.
No, that was not a fart.
What? That was your stomach that vibrated the whole couch.
Yes.
And made a noise.
That was like a burp.
And smells like eggs? I'm just kidding.
It doesn't smell bad.
It doesn't smell bad.
That was not a fart.
That's crazy. It made a noise.
Yeah. It was like the... You know how like I have the really loud burp sometimes? It like just comes out?
Yeah.
That was that noise.
I thought it was a fart.
No.
Okay. Well, Ryan farted inside his belly, guys. They put you in this machine at the eye doctor when they're trying to figure out what lenses you need for like prescriptions, and they switch and they say, okay, one or two, one or two. And then you tell them one or two, and then they say, okay, one or two. And you do that over and over and over again until like everything starts to look the same.
Yeah.
Like it's just so hard. And I'm like concentrating so hard. But long story short, I'm now only wearing my left contact. I didn't tell you that.
Oh, that's
exciting.
The
eye doctor told me that I only need to wear my left contact, and if things like start troubling me, then to tell him, obviously. But things were starting to look blurry. And so he was like, try only wearing your left contact. And I was like, oh, okay. Because apparently my right eye is like fine.
So you have perfect vision in your right eye, bad vision in your left.
Yeah, my right eye is fine.
Yeah.
It's my left eye that's bad.
Yeah, because if you put on Abby's glasses, it's the wildest experience. It's like you're on like acid or something.
Well, it's just like you're looking in a magnifying glass.
But one of the glasses parts is good, like the right lens, and the left lens is like something's going on.
Yeah, it's called amblyopia.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a lot of things wrong with me when I was a child. I had torticollis, which is like where your neck is like ticked to the side, and so my mom had to give me therapy. And then I also had asthma, and I ate eye drops. I was a 10-pound baby.
Why did you eat eye drops?
I ate a lot of things I wasn't supposed to because I'm just a very curious kid. Speaking of children, Ryan, as a child, looked like a girl.
No, I did not look like a girl.
There's a baby photo. Oh, it's actually right here. I'll show you guys. It's a baby photo of Ryan. Okay.
I don't look like a girl in that.
You don't look like a girl, but you don't look like you. Like, if I were to look at just
like one
the head up, it does kind of look like a little baby girl.
No.
I mean, you're very handsome now. Like, I'm not trying to like
throw shade. I was 1 year old in that picture. Of course I don't look like myself. Great hair though.
Great hair. I think it's the hair that's throwing me
off.
This
is one thing that it's really is consistent with through my life, and I've had some good hair.
Ryan has very good hair, and your dad has good hair still too.
Good so hair, I, yeah. I, starting like, to gray a little bit.
Ryan,
what it is?
No, it's not. Kenny, nope. If you're listening, you don't have any gray.
Nobody,
hair.
Nobody beats Father Time. Everybody starts to get a little salt in their pepper.
What?
A little salt in their pepper. Gray hair and their black hair.
Oh, you know who has really good. Who's a silver fox that I'm like, oh dang, I think as you've aged you've become better looking.
Who?
Steve Carell.
Yeah, he does. He looks
is
good.
A silver fox. Yeah. Wait, who's your celebrity crush?
Kendall Jenner.
See, okay, I already knew that, but I asked it like I didn't know that, but I thought that'd be good for the people to know because I look nothing like Kendall Jenner. And well, so I'm like, what does that mean?
That's like a worldly celebrity crush though. Like,
do you think if Kendall Jenner was in the room right now that you would want to put a ring on her finger instead?
No, not at all.
Thanks.
She doesn't love Jesus.
I feel so. I think she might. Because I watched an episode of a season of the Kardashians, and they like prayed and talked about Jesus, and like Northwest, Kim Kardashian's kid, she talks about how she like teaches her siblings how to pray and stuff.
Well, that's cool. You think that's the influence of Kanye?
Stop. We're not getting into that right now, okay? You were plotting. You already knew that you were going to say
it's
that.
Probably.
You smiled. Speaking before of that, you finished that sentence.
It's the inauguration day, so what we're going to talk about today is whether or not we're pro-Trump or Biden and how that affects us.
It doesn't even matter. Well, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't even matter anymore. Trump is president.
Yeah, but we're still going to get into it. We're going to talk.
Okay,
this
fine.
Episode
you lead the
is going to be all about
then.
Politics.
What do you want to say?
Actually, we're kidding. Today's episode is going to be...
You couldn't go further with the bit anymore.
No, I couldn't because I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, that's one thing about you is that you do not like to talk. Are you itching your chin with the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's one thing about me?
One thing about Ryan that I noticed like early on when we started dating is that he does not like to talk about politics. Mm. I mean, we talk about it because it's like just us two, but I'm the same way. I don't really like to get into politics too much. If someone were to ask me my opinions, I would tell you, like, I don't really care. But I also am just kind of like, I believe Bible, so you can probably, like, if you know the Bible, then you know what I believe. So, yeah.
Well, that's not the reason why I don't like politics. I don't like politics because it's a very touchy subject, and I'm a natural debater, and I am not as educated on that, so I wouldn't want to get into like some debate with somebody over politics where I'm not well-versed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so, because you just could end up sounding very
ignorant.
Not intelligent. Yes, yeah. Ignorant. And another thing is, I've watched just people get their feelings hurt and people become very angry over those topics. Mm. And two people that couldn't care less about me, I'm not going to get in an argument about that.
You know what I've noticed about this generation?
Meaning the president's. What?
That kind of leads me into this. I've been thinking a lot about this lately is how, okay, so like.
There's one of Abby's things right there.
What? What?
You just said I've been thinking a lot about this lately.
What? What do you mean?
You do that a lot.
I say that?
Yeah.
Well, I have been.
Yeah, you probably have. I'm just saying you say that a lot.
Okay, thank you. Anyways, I've been thinking a lot about how our parents' generation, they were very much so, how do I even word it? Like, not very open with your feelings. Like, the generation of, like, men don't cry, women keep things to yourself kind of vibe, mm-hmm. I guess, more so. And this generation is very much so, like, put up the camera while you're crying and post it online and, like, share your feelings. I say that calling myself out. Now, listen, I have a hot take about that because everyone's like, okay, if you're crying on social media, you have to put the camera up in order to cry and blah, 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 blah. Anytime I take a video of myself crying, it is for my eyes only because I'm trying to like talk to myself and remember for myself. And there was one time where I posted a video of me crying and it was because it was like a year later and I was like, wow, look how far I've come. This would be so great to share. And then I realized how it looked after I posted it, so I deleted it, but wow. That was the meaning behind it, so I can understand why people post videos of them crying.
Why did you take it down though?
Because you told me to.
I just think that even though it might not be that way, perspective is a lot, especially in social media, and somebody looking at that, it's just one thing. It can be taken out of context. Yeah,
I understand.
And that. It is true. You did set up a camera while you were crying.
Yeah. You know? But I did that because, like, for specifics, like, in the moment, I was going through a really, really hard mental battle, and I made that video for myself of being like, Abby, don't let yourself get to this place again. So yeah. That I could go back and look at it. I had no intention of being like, record this so I can post it later.
Exactly.
But then I just found the video.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh. So what I'm saying is, I agree with you. Like, I think out of context and stuff, like, I shouldn't post stuff like that because it's just too open and it doesn't read the way that I want it to read.
And that, folks, was the sound of the last drink of a cold brew.
Thank goodness. That ice was getting on my nerves. But what I am saying is, anyways, I can understand the thought process behind it because I've had that thought process as well.
Yeah.
Anyways, all that to say, this generation is very open with sharing our feelings. And it's like complete opposite spectrum of like my parents and probably your parents as well. And so I'm interested to see like what our kids' generation will be, because like I feel like I teeter on the edge of like oversharing and I'm too open. And I feel like it's good to a certain extent, but I'm finding that I'm thinking a lot about like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of always being so deep. Like sometimes I just want to like live life and not think about it. Like sometimes I feel like I pull it out of me and try to like go so deep into my feelings that I create problems that like don't even need to be there. And sometimes I just need to be like, okay, like move on, girl. Like everything doesn't always have to be so deep in order to honor your emotions.
Yeah. And that's where you and I are very different. I am someone that doesn't pull very far out of the bag. Like if there's some fries left over, they're just going to stay in there and I'm going to throw the bag away. But Abby's going to get every single last fry out of there.
That was a good example.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Which in real life, I'm grabbing every single fry, and you're probably the one that's going to leave some of the fries in the bag.
No, I'm the reason you grab every single fry is because I've already stolen like two before you eat them.
Yeah.
That's real life.
Well,
you want to know a secret? Anytime I pick up food for you and there's like a fry or like pizza, well, obviously you know it because you see it on the pizza.
Brutal. Yeah. The other
I'll always eat something.
We had Blaze and she just took a bite out of my pizza and I get back and it's just, I'm so excited to open the box. And there's just a huge bite taken out of one of my slices.
Yeah, because it was me. Because I'm the one that went and got it. And then by the time that you got there and your pizza was sitting so nicely, I had just taken one little bite.
You didn't go and get that pizza.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. Your mom did.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I had had dinner before. Yeah, you're so right. But I did have that little bite and it was
You're
really
so right. I don't hear that very often, but I'm usually am.
But anyways, all that to say, I just feel like almost maybe it's like conviction over like just always being so deep and sharing every little feeling. And I think like it started from a place of like wanting to help and wanting to just be like the realest version of myself online. But now sometimes I feel like, and we talked a little bit about this before, but like it's almost sharing too much to a point of like, okay, you have to respect yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think two, there's a part of you, well, in my, from my perspective, I feel like sometimes, and I'm not an oversharer by any means. Would you say I'm an undersharer, probably? So
no, I wouldn't say you're like purposefully undersharing. I think you're just like forgetful. Like you, no, it just doesn't.
Yeah, but what I mean is, though, even though sometimes I'm not even oversharing, from my perspective, I can be. And then later on, whenever you're out of that moment and your feelings are gone and you're past it, you can look back at it and be like, ah, maybe I shouldn't have shared that much then. So that's the part of, I guess, just kind of awareness that sometimes you got to have. It's like, okay, whenever this is all said and done, like, yeah, it seems right in the moment. Do I actually want this just to be shared out all over the internet?
That's something in the sermon yesterday that we listened to. It was talking about relationships, but the guy was talking about how kind of just the idea of we be quick to listen and slow to speak. And they talked about that more so in kids. And where I work in kids ministry, but it was very much so like being resilient and, you know, just not acting out of anger and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, so that's been really like heavily on my heart a lot, but I'm finding that even sometimes, like, I'll be very regretful coming out of conversations because I'm such a people pleaser that I just want to agree with what everybody's saying. And there have been sometimes, even this week, where like I'll have conversations with people and I'll like nod in agreement to try to I just subconsciously just am an active listener. And so if they're saying something that I like may not agree with or just don't really want to be talking about, I'll still like affirm that with like my physical body, or even just be like, yeah, yeah, I totally understand that, even if I don't. Or just, I don't know, there are just many ways in conversations that like I want to overshare or I want to affirm, even though I know that may not be the thing that I need or that I even want to do, just in hopes that I like please the other person.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm the opposite, where like somebody could say something that is literally so meaningless, but I don't agree with it. Like, it could just be with Abby, could just be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the silliest example. Abby could be like, yeah, I said that I was going to the gym the other day. And I'd be like, no, actually, you said that you were going to get lunch and then go to the gym. And it's just like, what, Ryan, why did you have to like argue that?
Yeah, I can understand that. I like, not gonna lie, I do feel that sometimes from you.
Oh, do you? I bet you do.
But on the opposite end, like, I'm sure you feel that a lot from me of like, okay, Abby, it's not like every single thing doesn't need to hold the same amount of weight, and that weight doesn't need to be the heaviest weight on the rack.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm really feeling convicted of that lately, but I'm trying to like navigate what that even looks like.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that there's a, it's really strange because the way God kind of puts it in the Bible, James talks about how like this life is but a vapor. So there's two perspectives that I feel like we should take from that. So he talks about how like you're basically mist. Like when the Febreze can blows, or you squeeze the Febreze can, like it's there and it's gone. That's basically what he said life is like. So there's two perspectives that we need to take from that. One, that we really, really need to maximize our time on this earth and be stewards of what God has given us and tell the people that we know are lost about eternal life and like what it, that looks like. And then the other side of it that I feel like people that I feel like people don't see as much is that, like, or maybe you don't see this as clearly, is that this life needs to be held a little looser because it's so quick.
Yeah.
So that maybe like so many things that, you know, an overthinker can think about on a daily basis. It's like, no, James said this life is but a vapor. So like today, the thing that you dealt with like for 20 minutes that you thought about that really in 2 days isn't going to matter. Like eternally speaking, that is like a speck of your life.
Yeah.
And it really, really doesn't matter as much as you think.
Go ahead.
I just think that whenever we have that perspective of like, okay, we need to maximize our time on this earth and be really good stewards of what God has given us, but also realize that this isn't all there is to it.
Yeah.
And we can hold loosely to things and, you know, get over things and, I guess be quicker to move on from things.
Yeah.
I feel like that's when we can really, really, you know, live a life that God has called us to live.
I think what happens is that, cause like talking about this and talking through it right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am trying to just solve everything in the entire world here on this earth. And that's why I think so much about it is because I'm like, well, this is all I know. Like I forget to have that kingdom mindset, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what happens is that like we have these revelations or we have these like come to Jesus moments that alter our brain chemistry in some way of like, oh my gosh, there's just such a bigger picture out there and this isn't all of it. And then over time, you know, life gets chaotic, things get busy, and we just get zoned in again. And it's like this repetitive cycle.
Yeah. And I put a quote out on Instagram. I don't remember when I did. It was a couple weeks ago, I think. But eternal life starts when you accept Jesus in your heart and you believe that he rose again from the dead for the payment of your sins, or he died for the sins and rose again. It doesn't start when you die. So we started eternal life. So eternal life, essentially, everybody's going to live forever. You're just going to live somewhere forever. So when you accepted Jesus in your heart, eternal life started. It's not like we just like, when you die, that's when your life with God starts. It's like, no. Like we get to accept Jesus in our heart today and live in that freedom today. So all these truths that are in the scriptures, like we can live those out today and that can bring freedom in us. So I feel like that kind of correlates to like what James says. And I think it's in James 4, like, and he talks about that. It's like, okay, we can really, 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 really hold true to the scripture so that, and I'm trying to get somewhere here, just stay with me. So whenever we do have, you know, things arise, like for me, it's like, okay, Ryan, you don't have to argue or debate every little thing that comes up. Or for you, it could be like, okay, you don't have to overthink every little thing that, you know, happens on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I feel like I'm feeling very convicted, like here in this moment of like,
and why?
I've never like felt convicted of this. So it's kind of interesting that this is happening now, but maybe it has to do with like all of these emotions that I'm having today. I don't know. There's always something that gets revealed to me when I have an emotional day like this, but I feel very convicted of being like a self-help girly. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I love all of the, like, this thing is going to help you maximize your day, or this therapy is going to help your muscles, or reading 10 pages a day helps your brain, blah, blah, blah. And just searching for all these things to be the best version of myself here on this earth. And none of that matters. Now, it's important. Yeah. Take good care of yourself. Your body is a temple. And I'm preaching this to myself as I'm like saying it, but I am feeling like, oh my goodness, like, yes, you know, we're in the 75 hard and like there's nothing wrong with the goal, there's nothing wrong with these like challenges to help you better yourself, but like that is taking priority over the kingdom mindset. And I think that's why everything is so deep when I struggle or when I'm having like some sort of bad day or hard time, because it feels like the end of the world, because my priorities are here in this world. And I'm seeking to, you know, with the intention of wanting to be the best version of myself, to be the best Christian and honor my body and honor my mind and honor my soul, to be able to like, you know, be a steward and pour into other people and all these things and all these, you know, biblical principles and blah, 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 blah. But like, am I chasing God or am I chasing the biblical principles? Am I like honoring the Lord and worshiping the Lord, or am I worshiping like steps to be able to be the best Christian, to then be able to present that version of the best Christian to the Lord?
Wow, that's
good. You know what I mean? And I'm feeling like very, I'm getting like a little choked up, but like I don't know. This year's just been very transformative, and I feel like I've been like the extreme of like very, very high and then very, very low. And yeah, I just kind of have been like low for a little bit. Both of us were a little low there with like your health, and then me just kind of like pushing myself in work and never getting like rest and stuff. And
December was the worst month of my life.
Yeah, December was really hard. And
oh my gosh,
when I like made it a non-negotiable to start reading my Bible first thing rather than just trying to fit it in through the day somewhere, like all of these things have been revealed to me. And it's only like midway through January, but it feels like I'm like relearning everything again.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm learning is like, Abby, stop trying to like build the blueprint to create a perfect present to give to God.
Yeah.
Like just chase God and stop worrying about everything else. Like just stop. Like literally if there was a big red button on my body right now, I'd press it to just like stop.
Yeah.
And just,
man, that'll preach. Well, I feel like, I wanted to go back to what you were saying. Like you feel like you were chasing these biblical principles instead of chasing God.
Yeah.
So are you saying like, and I feel like we need to stick there for a sec because I think that's really good, because I feel like that's when you can get trapped into like perception management. So like if as long as I check these boxes off each day, mm-hmm. I'm going to look more like a Christian versus, man, how am I building my relationship with God?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like those biblical principles are amazing, but what's your posture behind doing those biblical principles?
Yeah.
Is it so you can look more like a follower of Jesus on Instagram, or is it is it because am I really running after the heart of God and trying to seek his face and saying, you know what, like nothing really matters other than being with you and being in your presence.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is that just life picked up and I realized, honestly, around December, every single part of my relationship with Jesus was publicized. So I work at the church and I very happily love to do this. Don't get me wrong, but post, you know, a lot of my walk with Jesus online. I mean, that's the heart and soul behind why we even started this in the first place, was to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting no intimate time with Jesus. That was just me and him. And like in the Bible, Jesus went away to go speak with the Father, with God. Sorry.
With the Father. I love that.
But
why'd you say sorry? Like I was like about to condemn you.
But Jesus went away to go talk with God. And he also spread the gospel and did these great miracles. And, you know, it was just a great thing. But like in his most, I don't want to say important, but in some of the most pivotal moments in the gospel and in Jesus's time on earth, they were spent talking with God.
And here's the thing.
Alone.
Here's the thing too. When you read the gospels, sometimes it will tell us what Jesus was saying to God, because we need those in the scriptures, but there's a lot of times when the authors of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all they say is Jesus went away.
Mm-hmm.
So what that tells us, that the only thing that we know is Jesus went away to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Francis Chan talks about this. We have become a society, and I'm not pointing the finger at whoever's behind this camera. I'm pointing the finger at just as much me and Abby, just as much as myself, is we've become a society that post our Bible time, we post our prayer time, and we cover up our sin. So what would our life look like if we stop posting our quiet time with God, and we stop posting our Bible reading, and we started posting all the sin that we had? So we stopped giving off this perception that our life is perfect, but we showed everyone all the parts of our life.
Yeah. But then it circles back to that talk of like, well, why are you posting a video of yourself crying?
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about posting. I'm talking about sharing with other people and coming and repenting of your sin and building relationship with people that are actually real and coming back to the heart of who you really are.
Yeah, I get that. I think even me responding in that way goes to show how much reality social media is for me at this point and how much I need to zoom out.
Yeah.
Because like social media is, I would argue, the main form of communication at this point in 2025.
No, it's not.
I would say main point of communication on a global level.
What do you mean? Say that, so, like, explain.
Well, I mean, majority of the communication that I have with anyone who's not in my close circle is through social media or online.
So what do you, but I don't understand what you're saying though, because I feel like our communication is not on social media and my communication with my friends is not on social media.
What I'm saying is that social media is communication,
like social media is like the news.
I'm just saying, like, it's an important form of connecting with people in the way that you use it and the way that you place priority in it does matter. Like, it's not like you're just getting on there and scrolling and it's like, oh, this app is so addicting, like, blah, blah, blah. No, like, you're literally shaping who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Because of these things. Like, they say you become like the five people that you spend the most time with. Like, is social media one of those people? And like, that's what I'm saying.
That's probably why people think you're so awesome.
Huh?
Well, you spend a lot of time with me.
Oh, I was so confused. I was like, what? But I mean, that's what I'm saying is that, like, you walk around and we even you and I joke about and have these sayings of like these viral TikToks that go around and like these like they become part of our personality. They become like who we are. We all, you know, recite these funny little TikTok sounds that go viral and everyone laughs about it. Like, it's shaping society. It is a form of bringing people together, connecting and communication. Like,
okay, but what are you getting at?
So what I'm getting at is that, like, what we are taking in and what we post and what we do very much so affects everything, every part of, like, who we are. So, like, you saying, like, oh, people posting and people doing this and, like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I need to remind myself that, like, that is not the main form of communication, because I'm on it all the time. I'm posting and I'm talking with people and we're creating this great community, which is a great thing, but I really struggle with letting that be the priority and letting that be my main community.
Yeah.
Like, I need to invest in the people around me. Yeah. And I've been really trying to be mindful of that, because there was a period where, like, when I was really, really trying to, you know, fully work online and, like, fully make this my whole thing, that I was on my phone all day.
Yeah.
Literally all day, to the point that I would, like, cancel time with friends and, you know, oh, I can't go on this coffee date anymore. I can't go to dinner anymore because I have to edit or I have to do this. And hear me, like, there are times when that needs to happen. Like, work is work. And I mean, social media for me still is work. Like, I got to get the videos up and I got to do this. And I love doing it. But what I'm saying is, like, what's the point of all that if I'm not able to invest in my community? Like, what is the point of making these videos about having fun in life if I'm not sharing it with people? The only people I'm sharing it with are on a screen who I don't talk to.
Well, that's the thing, is at that point, all you're doing is talking about it.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Abby's trying to argue.
I'm trying to debate here. No. But yeah, I just think, like, I think the reason I even say that is because, like, you know, us talking about, like, zooming out and there's just so much more, is that, like, social media.
I know why you're so sad.
Why?
Because TikTok got banned.
No, it's not banned anymore.
Abby was crying so bad yesterday.
I was so happy.
She threw her phone across the room against a wall.
No, I was so happy. I was like, I don't like TikTok. I wanted it to get banned. I don't like posting on TikTok. It's just a hassle for me. But anyways, I was getting somewhere. What I was saying was that, like, social media has, whether you believe it or not, I truly believe that it has skewed, is that the right word? skewed our vision of reality and therefore changed our perception of heaven. Like, truly.
Wow. Can we elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, okay. So before the phone, there was life on earth and life in heaven. And now there's life online. And so there's another added level of creating things for yourself and all this stuff about the universe and manifestation and just all these kinds of things that you see online that, like, I wouldn't have even been exposed to, honestly, if I wasn't online. So, like, as much as I am, like, there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that there's a, well, social media and just the internet in general and the access to it has created a level of, I guess, just
an alternate universe.
Accessibility to all these different things. It's like the thing where people will have a headache. So they have like a headache in the back of their head and they look up like, why do I have a headache in the back of my head? And it's like, well, you have stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you just like haven't drank water today. But like you have all these lists of things and then you start worrying about all these lists that you need to do. It's like, it's just like that.
Yeah.
And
but what I'm saying is, like, I feel like that is affecting how I view and place the weight of, like, importance in my life on earth and my life on heaven.
Wow.
Or in my life in heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because even now, like, if our Instagram account were to get deleted, like, I'd probably cry. And it's like, it's an Instagram account.
Yeah, but I disagree with that because, well, what if you've built something else? What if something else you've built that's not Instagram?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I feel like that's unfair to say because that's like something you've worked really hard on.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. It's just so niche when it's social media, I guess. I don't know.
I just feel like sometimes, like, people making fun of the TikTokers that were upset about TikTok being banned. It's like, well, that's their form of work. Like, yeah, that's how they make money. It's like, let me put it this way. Mr. I'm in sales, so I'll just point it at me. Mr. Sales Guy, if you could make $25,000 a month off TikTok, you would do it too, just like they did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like you getting fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Or being out of a job.
Yeah, it's like you're getting permanently fired.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, it feels like the end of the world. And there's nothing wrong with having feelings. Obviously, I am very pro feel your feelings.
What feels like the end of the world?
But, like, any, like, loss like that of a job or whatever feels like, oh my gosh, at least to me, feels like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to, like, get another job again. Like, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to become poor and I'm going to lose everything and blah, 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 blah. And that's when it's like, okay, zoom out. Like, the Lord does not just abandon you.
Yeah.
The Lord doesn't close a door without opening another one. Like, the Lord doesn't, well, I mean, okay, maybe let me backtrack that. He may close the door and just need it to be stay shut and whatever, but, like, he doesn't just walk away. He doesn't disappear. Like, ultimately, we are going to be in heaven. And so I think those things can coexist, and we struggle, like, as humans, our brain can't fully comprehend and understand the vastness of, like, the authority and power of God. But so it's hard for us to, like, understand the coexisting of, like, the sorrow and the joy of the Lord at the same time.
Yeah.
But making that priority shift is what I really want to put emphasis on. Like, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be invested in all these things and really care about, you know, social media or your friends or your family or your job or whatever. But all of these things affect one another and all of these things are connected. And I am very, very, a very big victim of, like, having the things on this earth matter the most to me.
Yeah.
And so when one of those things get altered, or if I feel like you're upset with me and then it affects me to a point to where, like, I'm worrying about it all day, it's like, well, Abby, then are you seeking validation from Ryan rather than only trying to please the Lord? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, that priority shift.
You saying the Lord.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. But it's just a priority shift. For those that don't understand why I'm
laughing, Abby,
that we need,
doesn't call God God. She calls him the Father or the Lord.
I do call God God. I just, it's more natural for me to say the Father or the Lord.
Yeah, that's her go-to. And it's just funny. I just all
that
to funny.
Say, I'm kind of spinning in circles, but at the end of the day, it's a priority shift that I need.
At the end of the day, it's the end of the day.
It's not the end of the day. It's like 2:30.
No, but at the end of the day, it's the end of the day.
This is not what we were going to talk about in this podcast.
No, we were actually going to talk about like the difficulties of where we're at in engagement.
I kind of do want to talk about a little, like touch on that a little bit. So we're going to our first premarital counseling session before this. And
yeah, we finna go get counseled.
I am so excited about it, but I've been listening to this audiobook called What I Wish I Knew Before We Got Married. I forgot who it's by, but it's by the guy that wrote The Five Love Languages.
Mother Teresa.
He like came up with The Five Love Languages. And this is something I didn't even share with you yet because I want you to read it, but this is something that I wanted us to do. He was talking about how majority of the time, like the girl is like her mother and the boy is like his father, just genetically. Like mm-hmm. That's just how it works.
Yeah.
And he was like, you need to sit with your spouse and write out all the things that you really like about their father or mother. So like for you, you would write all the things you like about my mom, and then like qualities that you stay with me here. I don't know. He worded it better, but then you would write out a list of all the things that were like concerning about my mom
mm-hmm.
on a list. And then we would talk through it and kind of say,
wait,
like,
why just your mom?
Because I'm like my mom. So like for you, I would do your dad.
Why?
Because what I just said, oh, the guy I is see. Like his dad.
Okay.
The girl is like his, I'm picking the girl it up. Is like her mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not like you're picking apart the parents. You're pointing things out of like traits that we carry on from being parented by our parents.
I see what you're saying.
And then you kind of like troubleshoot and you talk through it and you're like, okay, you know, this is something that does worry me that I see like
wait,
traits.
We're not talking about that right now.
No. We're not actually going to do it. Yeah. But what I'm saying is like, I just found it very, very interesting because what he said was, you know, nothing's going to change in that person quality wise unless they actively choose to take steps and be mindful about actually changing that about themselves.
Yeah.
Like, you know how in the movies, like there's always that character that, you know, they were raised in a household where they like didn't love their parents and they're like, I don't want to be like my mom, I don't want to be like my dad,
and they become just like them,
or they don't, but it's because they took active steps to not.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like there's my favorite musical, Waitress, the girl, she I don't know, I guess was just like raised in a bad household or whatever and blah 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 blah, but she marries this guy who he's abusive to her and she has a baby and she's like, this is going to be different for you. Like, and she actively takes that step and she's like, we're getting a divorce or we're doing whatever. And
oh, I watched that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. It just put things into perspective of like, wow, there is a lot more of like digging into creating a life together that we still need to do.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like put things into perspective of like how much we still haven't talked about.
Yeah. Well, that's what marital counseling is for.
I know.
And women, when we're supposed to be married for a really long time. So
something that I talked to about with a friend, though, is because she's married now. But I feel like the devil is working extra hard in this period of engagement. Would you agree?
I don't know. What do you mean?
There are little things.
Sometimes I don't like that.
What?
The verbiage of, like, sometimes it's like, okay, you're doing stuff to yourself instead of, like, the devil is working really hard.
Well, I just feel
like people will be like, ah, the devil's just, people will be, have, like, a pornography addiction, and they'll be like, man, the devil's just really getting me today, and they're, like, on their phone at night, like, scrolling on Instagram reels.
Yeah, I understand that
but
as well.
I see, there goes Ryan trying to debate, but go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is I feel like there's a lot more spiritual warfare that I've been going through, a lot more. I've been having to be on guard a lot more.
About what?
Just like irrational thoughts within myself. Like it feels like every single thing that I have to like work through, and it just takes extra like steps to stop anxiety or stop fear or stop worry, when before we were engaged that wasn't the case.
Can and, you give an example? Do you have an example? Or
yeah, so like before we were engaged, there were things about you that I like, little things that you would do here and there that I like was like, oh, that's so funny, or oh, that's whatever, and I would just like laugh at, and like now they like actually bug me and I'm like, why? And I genuinely think it's because the devil is trying to take everything and try to just have some sort of conflict to drive us apart. Like, I genuinely think that. So my prayers have been like, Lord, like, help me to just continue to look at these things like the positive and find the joy in them. Like, I'm being so dead serious. And that one's a little less. It's more so of just me internally. For example, I've been dealing a lot with just the concept of like angels and demons, and like, you know, demons being real and being a thing. And, you know, I've always known that concept, but for some reason, like right now, it's just really, really causing a lot of like worry and fear of just irrational things. And not saying it's because we're engaged, but like, I don't know. It just seems like it's not a coincidence that it's popping up right now. I don't know.
I don't know. I will say though, one thing that I'm struggling with, I'm just ready to be, we're in a stage where it feels like Abby and I just started renting our first house together. So like, it's going to be the house that we are living in together. Mm-hmm. And
yay, it's so cute.
It's to the point where I'm just so ready to be living together and doing everything together. And you get into this mindset. It's so funny. It's so easy to tell somebody like, dude, you have 3 months, like just like wait, like who cares? But when you're actually in it and you really love somebody and you really just want to be with them, it's like, you just are just irrational with it. And you're like, oh, well, like, what? Let's just like live together now.
Yeah.
And, let's just do it. Who cares? Like, and it's like, if somebody came up to me, like my best friend came up to me and was like, we're doing all these things, I'd be like, dude, you have 3 months. Like, just wait.
Yeah.
You're 25. Like, you've waited this long. But it's really hard whenever you're that close. It's like, sometimes I'll have to pee when I'm driving. And the closer I get to the rest stop, the more I have to pee, because it's like you get comfortable, you know. And it's like, it's a mental thing. Like, you're about to just like pee your pants because you're so close to the toilet.
No, I swear that's an actual thing, because I get that when I'm running. Like, I don't have to poo until I know there's a porta potty there. Yeah. I swear it's like a thing with your body.
Yeah.
But that's funny. See, I haven't really struggled as much with that. Like, obviously, yeah, I'm Abby excited. Don't want to
live with me.
I do want to live with you, but like that, honestly, for someone who's really, really impatient, that's not something I'm super, super struggling with.
You impatient?
I am very impatient.
No.
That's not the thing I'm really struggling with, though. For me, it's the, like, mental warfare. He's like,
I just hate this dude now, and I thought I loved him.
No. That's not the case at all. But what I'm saying is that, like, I lost my train of thought. You're really moving that microphone around a lot, and it's going to create a lot of noise.
No, it won't create any noise.
Yeah, it will.
Super quiet.
No, that's why I lost
my train. Let us know in the comments. You guys probably can't even hear anything.
That's why I lost my train of thought, because Ryan's banging around the mic. Anyways, no, for me, it's just like, I don't know. It's the fears of like these little insecurities that just weren't a thing before we were engaged, of like, you're not going to be a good enough wife. You're not going to, I mean, I'm getting really real here, but like, you're not going to be good in bed. Like, you're not going to be able to take care of a home. Like, we got the keys to our new house, and you know that Ryan's already moved into, and I started crying because I'm like, I've never been had a house before. Like, what if I'm not good at taking care of a house? What if I'm not good at being a wife? What if I'm not, like, all of these things that are just another added level that, you know, I'm excited about, and then it just feels like the devil takes it and is like, but what if?
Just wrapping a bow on this, you know what's really important that you should do?
What?
Maybe go talk to real people about it.
Yeah.
People that have been through it.
Which is what I've done.
Because people have gone through that.
Yeah.
And you have friends that are going to wrap around you and be there for you.
I guess I'm just like, at a certain point, it's just exhausting because like I'll go talk to someone about it and then feel all confident and good about it. And then something else will pop up and then something else will pop up. And it's just like, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah. But are you seeking a final destination or are you?
I just pray for contentment.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
Okay.
You know, like at a certain point, I'm not seeking, but I'm tired of just this, you're not going to be good enough and you're not. And it's really hard for me to just be like, okay, I'm going to turn that part of my brain off.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should write down every day that you are going to be good enough and something that God says about you.
Yeah. Maybe I will.
You should do that.
You know what's so sickening though? You saying that, my immediate thought was like, but that's selfish.
That's not selfish.
I know. I just think
that's not selfish. Sorry, I said that really quiet.
In today's world, women are taught to be people pleasers and we're taught to say I'm sorry before we've even done anything.
Not by the teacher of life, though.
Not. Yeah, exactly. Not by Jesus.
You and get it. You have the wrong teacher.
It's another priority thing. It's like, Abby, check yourself. Like, where are your priorities? What are you allowing to hold space in your brain?
That's right.
And it just, I'm just like, girl, I'm done.
But I feel like people will go through this a lot. Like, I feel like there'll be a lot of people that will relate to this and be like, oh yeah, I feel the same way. So thank you for sharing. For real.
Great that we can relate and feel the same way. But like, what active steps are we going to take to not have other more people feel the same way?
Thank you for sharing, Karen.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like, it's like all fine and dandy. Like, great. We all feel, you know, we're relating on this. Awesome. What are we going to do now? Like, let's change it, you know?
Yeah.
I get stuck in the, oh, I'm so glad that we feel the same way, which is very empowering, but now like, okay, turn the page, like change something, rewrite something, get the eraser and write something new, like change the habits.
Yeah.
I need to sit on it though. I don't really have any prescriptions right now of steps to take. I'm kind of in this weird middle space of like figuring it out. I'm in a phase right now where I just want to listen, which I feel like it's hard to have a podcast because you need to come on and like talk about things and share things. Sometimes I'm just like, I just want to like take it in. I just need to take it in.
I feel like sometimes that's the whole purpose of life.
Well, that's life.
Well, seriously though, like,
yeah.
What if you had every single answer to everything, what would be the point?
Well, I feel like I have no answers to anything.
It's like the thing is like, what do they say? What does that one quote say? I don't know who said it, but it's like, if you had every single answer to I don't know what that's it's like if God answered every single one of your prayers right now, what would you be asking for? I don't know.
Are you talking about if you had everything that you thanked God for, what would you have?
I don't know.
Well, I heard that today. That's like total side note, but I heard that the other day. Not today. I heard it the other day and I really liked it. The guy said, if you tomorrow woke up with everything you thanked God for the day before, what would you wake up with? I was like, ooh. And immediately when I heard that, I was on a run and I just said a little prayer and I was like, Lord, thank you for everything. Anyways, with that being said, guys, this was not what we were going to talk about today, but hey, we were all over the place and that's life. That's what we do. That's just what we do.
We're going to go to marriage counseling.
Yep. It's going to be awesome and fun. Hey, we love you. And
Jesus loves you.
And that's life.
Peace.